I spent about a month in Buenos Aires last summer, and both my father and I have had a very kind of tumultuous relationship. About my second day, I rented out an apartment while I was in Buenos Aires my whole time there. And about my second day, I called home back in Jersey. And both my father and I speak Spanish, but we've never spoken it to one another. But when I called him from Buenos Aires that day, we spoke Spanish for a good 15 minutes. And we liked each other in Spanish. So this is about that. El Clarín is the daily newspaper in Buenos Aires. It also means, I guess, the horn. And Lunfardo is kind of a gaucho slang that persists today. It's kind of the kind of Spanish that you would hear in tango music. As glass. When these sons of Buenos Aires called to me from across the street, in the formal idioms their fathers used to ignore the beggars of Recoleta and the ubiquitous feral dogs, I understand just enough to switch my bag of fruit from one hand to the other and tuck El Clarín between my elbow and my flab, then fling their summer-beaten leather ball back halfway to the field, and they all rush towards me to be the first to retrieve it. I return to my hard floor flat and phone my dad back in Jersey. "Papa," I say. Of course, at first, he doesn't recognize his own name, or even my voice, for I'm speaking to him with an affection whose prepositions point in all the wrong directions. We don't loathe one another in Spanish the way we do in English. For once, we are laughing at the same time. Desde que hay hasta adiós, we end by wishing each other to God. And the boys, I could still hear them teasing one another in Lunfardo down the street. Maybe they aren't too young to despise their fathers. Maybe they can already taste a petty venom in their mouths, in the prayers they pretend to say before they sleep. For the moment, I love my dad more in this Castilian, this dialect of conquerors, this larcenist's parlance, love him more than I will in English for many years to come. In the American vernaculars, I would rather spit at his feet, the one I stutter into my lover's hair, the one boiled into my tendons. I am fluent in foolishness and rage. I should tell you what you don't yet know about my dad's English. It rises from his ankles into his torso and limbs like molten glass. It stiffens when it cools, and this is why he and I can glare at one another for decades without moving, all the lexicons of sadness and delight filling the body, turning cold and hard around every muscle and bone, a crystalline filigree twisted around the capillaries and flooding the metacarpal nooks, stopping in the esophagus, duplicating precisely the full lattice work of the unseen. So a flesh, sinew, and gut, the human crucible, were to fall away as it must, what's left is the clear anatomy of a man's invisible within, cast in the most fragile human language, gone 77 years unsummoned. The whittled wooden fans of his childhood, calesas rocking over the cobblestone of Vigan, hand-carved rosary beads, the curious Chicago cold, the solitary cough from a Brooklyn pew, soup and cots and elevators and burnt offerings and 400 years of horseshit. And I am there too, sitting in a chilly apartment in Palermo, listening to the fading howls from the football field, the bold charity of a foreign tongue sweetening the image in my mind of this quickly aging man who whacked me and my brothers silly with his leather belt. And every word of every tenderness I've failed to speak is already rising through my knees as glass. It is ancient, and it is pure, and it is not free of bitterness and grief. It is heating my very fingers as I write this, and this is how I'll know I'll spend my lifetime waiting to shatter into the body of my fathers.